sorry. Anteakio, and his talk is Documentary versus Descriptive Linguistics in the Study of Sami Languages.
Thank you. So, my topic here concerns the documentation and description of the Sami languages. My official name's Anteakio, but over there you can see I'm more commonly in Sami called Luebbal Sammo Sammoland, so that's my Sami name. Before going to the topic, I'd just like to say a few words about our institute at the University of Oulu in Finland, where I work as a researcher. That's a research institute for Sami languages and culture, and actually one of the few places in the world where it's possible to study the Sami languages as a major on a university level. And also the only place actually where it's possible to study Sami culture as a major at a university. Some of you might have a question about the term, what actually is Sami? So I'd like to start with some general information. Sami is a general name for the indigenous peoples of Lapland and their languages as well. And this name actually derives from the languages themselves. The word appears in slightly varying forms in the different various Sami languages. You can see some examples there: Sapmi, Sapmi, Sami, Sami, and so on. Perhaps in international literature, at least formerly, the name Lap was more commonly used of the Sami and the Sami languages, but this is now usually considered outdated, and often also this word has a derogatory connection, so it's not used by the Sami themselves and may occasionally even be considered insulting. So here you can see a map which shows where Lapland is located. The red area is the region where Sami languages are spoken in northernmost Europe, covering parts of four countries, northern Norway, northern Sweden, the northernmost part of Finland, and extreme northwestern Russia, more precisely the Kola Peninsula, or most parts of it. About the Sami people or peoples, the Sami are often considered the only indigenous people of the European Union or even the whole Europe. You may run across these kinds of descriptions in the literature. However, this is largely due to the fact that other indigenous peoples or peoples that could potentially be described as indigenous in Europe are not officially recognized as such due to a variety of mainly political reasons. An interesting thing in terms of these ethnic identification is that the Sami usually consider themselves one people, despite the fact that they speak several different Sami languages, which are mutually mostly unintelligible. But it should be noted that this common Sami ethnic identity is a rather modern construction. Historically, the Sami were not a culturally very homogeneous group. Rather, one can distinguish between three principal cultural groups among the Sami peoples, or historical Sami peoples, based largely on their livelihoods, which determined major aspects of their culture. Those were the forest Sami, reindeer herding Sami, and the sea Sami. Forest Sami communities were spread much over the forest zones in central and northern parts of Finland and also Scandinavia and Western Russia. And reindeer herding Sami, which are perhaps now considered the most prototypical group of Sami, or stereotypical, I would rather say, are just one cultural group among the Sami people. And in addition to that, there are also Sea Sami cultures along the Arctic coast of Norway, which subsisted mainly on fishing and sealing and trade traditionally. But at present, the Sami society is entirely or thoroughly modernized, that even though some of the traditional livelihoods have been preserved. About the languages, as I mentioned, there are several quite distinct Sami languages, even though the speakers of these languages consider themselves one people. Generally, the boundaries between these languages don't correspond very well to cultural boundaries, and especially they don't coincide with state boundaries in Lapland, which were established very late. Today, there are 9 distinct Sami languages alive. Until quite recently, till 2003, there were 10 of them, but a 10th one became extinct as its last speaker passed away, if I remember correctly, on Christmas Eve 2003, so now there are 9 languages. Quite often, these distinct Sami languages are, or at least in older literature, were referred to as dialects. But this is a very misleading term, because those so-called dialects are mutually largely unintelligible and, quite according to quite normal linguistic criteria, must be described as distinct languages. So here you can see a map showing the boundaries of the 9 currently living Sami languages, plus the 10th one, which just recently became extinct. It should be noted about this map that it doesn't really describe the current situation in terms of geographic spread, because several of these languages are highly endangered, or nearly all of them, or moribund currently. So in those kinds of situations, especially if there are just a few or a few dozen speakers, it doesn't make really much sense to speak of a speaking area of a language. So this rather describes the situation about 100 to 150 years ago. Just a couple of words about the differences between the Sami languages. As I mentioned, that these languages are quite distinct from one another, they actually can, in terms of time depth, be compared to such language groups as Romance or Germanic languages, which have diverged from each other over a period of roughly 2,000 years. But even so, these languages in parts of Lapland form a dialect continuum, so that speakers of neighboring varieties might be able to communicate reasonably well, but people from more remote locations wouldn't understand each other's language. About the sociolinguistic situation of these languages, all of the Sami languages must be described as endangered. There is only one language that is only endangered, but not severely so. That's North Sami, with approximately 25,000 speakers in Finland, Norway, and Sweden. Actually, also my mother tongue. And even so, some of its dialects in peripheral dialect areas are already becoming extinct. The rest of the languages are either severely endangered or moribund. 5 languages have numbers of speakers between 300 and 2,000 at most. And then there are moribund languages with numbers of speakers ranging from 1 to roughly 20. So, to the main subject of this presentation, I'm going to say just a couple of words about the research history of these languages, which has the study of Sami languages has a very long tradition. As a part of Finno-Ugric linguistics, these languages belong to the Finno-Ugric, or also known as the Uralic language family. And actually, the first grammatical descriptions of some varieties of Sami appeared as early as the 18th century. And during the late 19th and early 20th centuries, very extensive materials of these languages were gathered by Finno-Ugric linguists, mainly for the purposes of carrying out comparative linguistic research. And that's, in some sense, due to this very extensive period of very extensive gathering of materials, many of the Sami languages could in some sense be described as well documented, at least compared to indigenous languages in many other parts of the world. Now about the substance that was documented back then, it has very heavily concentrated on lexical materials and then to collection of texts or dialect samples, and then largely morphological paradigms. And there are actually quite many published text collections and very many dictionaries and vast, really vast amounts of materials in various kinds of archives. But a few shortcomings should be noted. There is a scarcity of grammars, even though a lot of material has been gathered. There are not adequate reference grammars or even practical grammars of many of these languages. And there has been relatively little work on morphosyntax and even less on semantics and pragmatics. And another problem related to the materials that were gathered on these languages is that many of them employ a very outdated and excessively complicated phonetic notation in today's standards. So, as one of the themes of this conference was the relationship between documentation and description of languages, the distinction which has been emphasized by Himmelmann. It's interesting to note that in his terms, Sami languages could be described as better documented than described, because there is a huge amount of materials in archives and also published as dictionaries and text collections, but much less grammars or other kinds of structural descriptions. Now, I've made a quick assessment, or a rough assessment, of the level of documentation and description of these languages using a four-point scale that is probably most often used in movie reviews, but I decided to apply it here because it was rough enough for this purpose. And to evaluate four issues, first, how extensive grammatical descriptions are available. And second, how good dictionaries for various kinds of purposes are available of each language. And third, how much published texts exist. And now, with this, I'm not only speaking or even primarily referring to dialect samples or text collections published by linguists, but texts written and published in these languages. And finally, fourth, the extent of unpublished materials. And I tried to estimate these points for each of the 10 Sami languages. And the picture looks something like this. As you can note from the figures, on the column on the left, on the right side, you can see that for many languages, or most of them, there exist good or even excellent archived materials. But usually, the situation with published materials is not as good. And texts are often found in reasonably well in several languages. With dictionaries, the picture is relatively good, but with grammars, not that good. So, about how this extensive documentation, as opposed to description, could be used as a source for future grammatical description of these languages. In particular, the possibility of writing reference grammars and even practical grammars of these languages in the future. It's important to note that much of the material that has been gathered is in the form of edited field notes, texts with or without translation, often without, and especially as unprocessed audio recordings that have just been archived. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of hours of archived recordings of various Sami languages. I believe that even from one relatively poorly grammatically described Sami language, Skold Sami, there are, to my knowledge, probably over 400 hours of recordings. Most of those recordings have never been processed. Now, such material, largely unprocessed material, is very time-consuming to use when doing any particular type of linguistic research. I'll just give a quick example of this. Together with a colleague of mine, Jussi Ylikoski from the University of Helsinki, I conducted a study in which one of the aims was to comprehensively describe the use of just two highly frequent postpositions in North Sami. The postpositions or their functions are not important here for the point I want to illustrate. The point is that for the purpose of this research, we compiled a corpus with almost 2,000 tokens of these postpositions, and then used this as a source of the description. It took that much to adequately cover all, apparently, hopefully, all the functions of those two words. These tokens were extracted from a text corpus of over 1 million words, which is 1 million words of North Sami is roughly like 2,500 pages typed single-spaced. And about a half of those were in electronic format and a half of them not, so that we had to read them through. So it took quite a bit of time. So the point here I want to make is that it's possible to use these kinds of materials for very narrow studies on one particular construction or grammatical phenomenon or whatever. But it's naturally not possible to apply such an approach in when, for example, working on hundreds of questions regarding grammar when a reference grammar is planned. And now, what could be done with all these materials? Well, basically, it seems that only a very large and representative corpus of morphologically glossed texts in a computerized format could really facilitate the task of writing a reference grammar, because only then it would be possible to easily do searches for various kinds of phenomena. But such the collection of such corpora of the Sami languages would be a really, really painstaking task, even though the basis for that already exists in archives as various kinds of recordings, because these recordings would have to be transcribed into texts, which then would have to be morphologically glossed, and that involves a variety of problems. For example, poor sound quality in old recordings, obsolete media, purely technical problems, and also problems like lack of information on the actual content of the recordings in archives and so on. And also the transcribing and glossing of such materials would not would require linguists that at least have a relatively good command of these languages, and there are not very many such linguists. So the situation is in some ways good and in some ways bad. It's very good that there is extensive lexical documentation of many of these languages in the form of dictionaries, even though those dictionaries often employ an obsolete orthography. And second, it's naturally great to have a very large amount of audio recordings and texts. But there are huge problems, mainly with accessibility, first of all, due to complex outdated transcriptions, poor labeling of materials, and materials being scattered over a wide range of different archives, and outdated technical problems related to outdated recording media. And this means that actually there is much, much more, many times more, or perhaps dozens of times more material that than can be expected to be processed by linguists in the forthcoming, in the future decades or so. And this is an interesting situation. I'm not aware of a similar one in very many languages. These problems largely result from a type of tradition that has been common in Finno-Ugric fieldwork during the period when also these very extensive Sami materials were compiled, which could be summarized in this slogan, collect now, analyze and publish later. But the result has been that so much material has been gathered that it doesn't seem likely that it could be all processed anytime very soon. Thank you.
Are there questions?
So you said there's the temp language that is now dead.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of that?
That's Akkala Sami. If you look at the map, let's see if I can find the map here. There it is. It's number 8 on the map. And the last speaker of that died around Christmas, probably on Christmas Eve in 2003.
And how well described is that?
That's very poorly described, probably the worst of all. There's quite a bit of recordings of that language as well, but no adequate grammar. There's one grammar sketch that is of very poor quality, regrettably. But also the materials are more limited than for other languages, so it's kind of a bad situation.
Mm-hmm. So I know that there are teaching materials available. I mean, it's Norwegian to Sami, sort of. And I speak Norwegian already, but I was wondering to what extent any of the languages are standardized, and if there are teaching materials available in them, do the children learn them in school and things like that?
Well, North Sami has a standard literary language, and it's in quite extensive use. Quite a few books and some magazines and one newspaper are published in it. It has had a standard literary or a standard orthography from 1979. And there's also plenty of teaching materials, but regrettably very little in English, though. But Several of the languages, actually six of them, have a standard written language. Those would be the six largest ones, but the moribund ones do not.
Other questions? Thank you.
Just in the end, I have these neat little information.